totally made up. Well, hey, I'm Ben. I am the missions pastor here at Central, and I just want to say we're so glad that you guys are here. If you're a guest with us, maybe you're in visiting family or friends this morning for Christmas, we are glad that you've come to be with us this morning and just are excited to have you here. So let me ask this question to kind of get us started. How many of you guys are ready for Christmas? Quick poll, like ready for Christmas. You're there, you got the tree, you got all the presents, you're ready. Okay, how many of you are ready for Christmas just to be over? Yeah, okay. Wow, this audience got a lot more people than that. So, yeah, I mean, it's that time of year, right, where we've just got the Christmas crazy going on. All of the things that we're involved in, you know, whether it's your kids' school programs that you're going to see, or, you know, the office Christmas party, or, you know, Christmas Eve service at the church. Rylan, you can pay me for that later. You know, there's lots of things that take up our attention and our time, and oftentimes I think it's a season where we just feel like, oh, it's so much, and sometimes we're ready for it just to be over. Well, I wonder this morning, maybe you feel a little bit like this video.
Hi, I'm Ryan. And I love Christmas. To me, Christmas is about, well, it's about the birth of Christ. December can be so busy and stressful. It's nice to end the month with a special day. Sure, we do the Santa stuff. It's fun. Our kids love it. But it's not all we do. We find time to tell others about our Lord, what he did, what his sacrifice cost. The night before Christmas, we read the story of the birth of Jesus. When my kids go to bed, they're thinking about how good he is. Christmas Day is so amazing. I can barely wait for it to get here.
Anybody relate to that? Yeah, sometimes we feel that way. You know, I think oftentimes we feel that way about Christmas is because we're putting our emphasis in all the wrong places. We're putting our focus, our attention in all the wrong places, whether it's the presents or the, you know, all the activities or trying to make it just right, so perfect for our kids or our grandkids so that they remember it and have these memories. And we put those focus or put our attention into those things and we miss the real point of Christmas. Well, this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to ask the question, what is the point of Christmas? What is the point of Christmas? And in order for us to do that, we've got to go back to the author of Christmas, the one that started it all. And so we're going to look at God's word this morning and see what he had to say about it. If you've got your Bible or if you've got the digital sermon notes open, we're going to look at Galatians 4 this morning in verse 4. It says this, when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Now, some of your Bible translations say this phrase, in the fullness of time. God sent his son in the fullness of time. Well, what does that mean? It's this theological concept. It's this idea that God sent Jesus, specifically Jesus, at the perfect time, in the fullness of time, when he had appointed for all things to work together in this perfect time and for his purposes to be fulfilled. The truth is, God was very, very intentional about the time that he sent Jesus. Now, many of you have heard the Christmas story, and so you know about these different prophecies that were foretold hundreds of years before Jesus ever arrived on the scene, about this king, this Messiah who would come. And these prophecies talked about a star that would appear and that would lead what we know as the shepherds and the magi to worship Jesus. We also know that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, this little town. We know that there was a census that would lead Mary and Joseph to go to that place. We know that that there would be this time that Mary and Joseph would flee to go to Egypt because of Herod that would chase after that family. And so all of these prophecies that were fulfilled, and you've probably even heard, you know, the odds that these things would be fulfilled, that they're astronomical, right? I mean, that all of these things, that Jesus would be able to fulfill them, it's something like 1 in 100 trillion. Like, it's a lot. It's a whole lot that these prophecies would be fulfilled. And yet that's when God sent Jesus. And I want to ask the question, why? Why was this the time? Why was this the time that God wanted to send Jesus? What was God's point in sending him then? See, I think we also have to look at the setting that this happened. Did you know when Jesus was born in the first century in Judea, at this time, there was this peace that Rome had brought to the entire region. See, they had come in and they'd conquered the entire region. They brought peace to the whole region and allowed people to be able to travel freely. They'd never been able to do this before. Like, think about that. At this time, you couldn't just go from Owosso to Collinsville because you had to worry about people trying to attack you on the road. And that was the same way. The Romans had brought this peace that had allowed people to be able to travel and to go from place to place. There was also this anticipation that the Jews had. Now, they for 400 years, they had waited on this Messiah to come. And they were waiting for him to come and to set them free. Now, the Romans, while they brought peace, they also brought hardship for the Jewish people because they had come and they'd taken over. And so the Jews, they were waiting. They were waiting for this king that would come and that would set them free. Another thing that was going on at this time was with the Greek culture influencing the Roman Empire, they had what was called the common language. They had common Greek language. And this allowed Jesus and his message and his disciples to be able to go out and to share that message freely. See, the people spoke different languages, but they had this one common language that allowed them to be able to share that broadly and freely. At the same time, that Greek culture had also brought Greek philosophy. And many of you guys know about the Greek philosophers of Socrates and Plato and the ideas that, you know, that they were asking of what is truth and how do we know that we can trust the things that we see and that we can know what truly is right and true. See, many people had become disillusioned at this point where they didn't know. And they looked at Greek philosophy and they didn't understand how can I have a relationship with God. And also the Jews. I mean, they for years had been going through this sacrificial system of trying to sacrifice animals each year, doing the same thing over and over and over, and feeling the emptiness of that ritual of committing sin and sacrificing animals and over and over and over. So at this time, God brought all these things together in the fullness of time. A few months back, our car broke down. We had the check engine light come on, you know, that dreaded check engine light, and I took it to the shop, and they said, well, you need to have the head gasket replaced. And if you know anything about cars, it's not an easy thing. But I've got a friend, I don't want to drop any names, so I've got a friend that thinks he's a pretty good mechanic. And so he said, you know, hey, we can tackle this. We got this. I've done, you know, stuff like this before. And so I ordered all the parts, and we spent the next several weeks trying to tear the engine apart and get the new head gasket on there. And it was one of the things that we had to do. We had to take apart the timing chain. And if you know anything about engines, timing chain is kind of this thing that keeps everything in sync, right? Like the pistons are moving at the right time and the valves are opening and the gas is going in, all these things, it's working in sync with each other. And that timing chain is what keeps it all working together, okay? So we had to take off the timing chain, put that back on there, and then put the engine all back together. And I remember, you know, as Clayton was putting the timing chain on there, we were trying to get the links exactly where they were supposed to go. We had to count a certain number, make sure that they were on the sprocket in the right way. And we got it all back together, and he said, okay, you know, let's start it and see what happens. So we, you know, pushed the button and the engine turned on. But it just wasn't running quite right. Like, it just kind of had this, it wasn't right. And so you checked all the codes on it, and I took it to another mechanic and showed him the codes, and he said, I think you're just one link off. So here we are. You know, God's timing wasn't like that. God's timing was perfect. It was exactly the time that it was supposed to be. In fact, Christmas points us to that. It points us that God's timing was perfect. When he sent Jesus, it was the absolute perfect time. In his infinite wisdom, in his eternal perspective, he could see this is the time to send his son to the little town of Bethlehem. See, everything was perfect. God was ready, humanity was ready and waiting, and God's plan was perfect. And so this was his plan. It says in verse 4, it says, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. See, I think sometimes we look at God sending Jesus, and we kind of think of him as like, okay, maybe he was the backup plan. You know what I mean? Like, God gave us the Ten Commandments. He gave his people the Ten Commandments. He said, okay, obey these things, and if you obey these things, then we'll be in right relationship. And we all know none of us can do that, right? None of us could obey those Ten Commandments. And so then he came up with the sacrificial system. And, you know, okay, well, if you guys sacrifice some animals each year, you do this, and that will put us back into right relationship. The animal will atone for your sin and put us back into right relationship. And so we look at Jesus and we go, okay, that didn't work, so you had to send Jesus. And the truth is, Jesus wasn't plan B. Jesus wasn't the backup plan. In fact, he was God's first and best plan. Christmas points us to that. Christmas points us to the fact that he was God's perfect plan. You know, one theologian said it this way. He said, one could hardly find a more succinct summary of the Christian gospel than the expression, God sent his son. Wrap your minds around that. I mean, really think about that. That God the Father sent his son into the world. And he sent him into the world in the most humble way that he could. He sent him as a baby. I mean, it's almost unimaginable that God the Father, infinite, eternal, all-powerful God, that he would send his son as a baby, a helpless baby. Now think about it. He could have sent Jesus in any way, right? He could have sent Jesus as, you know, this conquering king, you know, that shows up on the scene like Alexander the Great or somebody. Shows up and he comes in and he conquers the world. He could have sent Jesus as like this powerful warrior, you know, this guy that just has super strength. He could have sent Jesus as Superman. I mean, he could have sent him flying into the earth with X-ray vision and, you know, lasers shooting out of his eyes. He could have done it however he wanted to. He's God. And yet he sent him as a little baby, as a humble baby. I mean, wrap your mind around that. Not only that, think about what that would entail for Jesus. Jesus came and he suffered. He came and he bound himself to time, he bound himself to flesh, and he came and he lived on this earth as a man. A man who had no place to lay his head, a man who traveled from place to place, a man who eventually would be tortured and crucified and would die. And God knew that. God knew that from the beginning. This was his plan. You know, I remember when Josiah was born. Josiah's over here. He's 17 now. But I remember when, we were preparing for Josiah to be born. He's our firstborn son. And I just remember, you know, people talking about, you're going to love him. Like, you've never seen him. But the first moment that you see your baby and that you get to hold your baby, like, you're going to love him. There's just going to be this, like, overwhelming love that you're going to feel for him. And I remember when he was born, it was true. I mean, it was like, man, he was just precious to me, and I loved him. Now he's 17, almost 17, and I still love him in a different way. But why would God the Father, I mean, this rocked me. I remember this, you know, this idea that God as a father would send his son to come and to experience the pain and the suffering that he would eventually die for me. And it makes me wonder, like, why would he do that? Why would God do that? Did he not love his son? I mean, was he some kind of a cruel father that just didn't care? Of course not. I mean, we know God the Father loves God the Son. In fact, you know, when Jesus was baptized, after he came out of the water, there was this voice from heaven that said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." He loved him. He did the same thing when he was at the Transfiguration up on the mountain. This is my son. Listen to him. I love him. He's my beloved son. John 17, it says that God loved Jesus even before the creation of the world. He loved him. So why would he send him to die for us? Let's look at Romans 8, 3. It says this, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his son in a body just like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sin. See, God sent his son because we couldn't save ourselves. He didn't send a substitute. He didn't send somebody else in his place. He sent himself. God sent himself to do what we couldn't do. In our human weakness, in our sinful nature, in our bodies that are weak, he sent Jesus to do what we couldn't do because his standard was perfection, and only God is perfect. Only God is holy. So what this verse that we started with this morning, Galatians 4, tells us, it says God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. This was God's perfect plan. This wasn't plan B. This was his perfect plan to show us his love, to show us that this is how much he loves us, to save the world and to set us free from the consequences of sin. You know, we most of us know the verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. But the next verse, John 3:17, it says this, his reason for this, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This was his whole plan. This was his whole purpose in sending Jesus. And Christmas reminds us of that. It reminds us that God's plan was perfect because he loved us and he sent us Jesus. Well, just like Jesus knew what was coming, Christmas also points us to our purpose. He knew what his purpose was, and it also points us to what our purpose is. Christmas points us to our purpose, that we too are sent. You know, after Jesus resurrected, after he came back from the grave, he appeared to his disciples in this upper room, okay? His disciples were afraid. They were, you know, those harsh Romans, they were after him. And so they were up in this upper room and they had the door locked, and Jesus appeared to his disciples. And this was one of the last times that he was going to be with his disciples. And so he had some words to say to them before he would ascend to heaven. And the words that he said to them, I think it's interesting that it's the same words that the shepherds heard from the angel as they knew that Jesus was coming because they were afraid. He said, peace. And that's what Jesus said to them in John 20:21. He said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. See the two most important parts of that verse, as and so. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. He sends us in the same way. It's the exact same way that God wants us to be sent. Jesus sends us with the same intentionality, with the same purpose, that we're going to proclaim good news to those who don't know, with the same power that Jesus had. In fact, do you know that Jesus said, you will do greater things than even I. I mean, does that not rock you? How will we do greater things than Jesus? You know, the reality is, I think Jesus knew as his followers would go out throughout the world, they would do greater things because they would have a greater scope in being able to share the message of salvation with the world. He sent them with the Holy Spirit. And that next verse in John 20, it says that he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. It's this idea that the Holy Spirit would come into followers of Christ. He would come and he would dwell with them and he would give them the power and the means for them to be able to go and to share the good news. Not only that, that he would be with them, that he would comfort them as they experience hardships of their own. And he gave them the same thing that Jesus had, that good news of salvation. See, there's a lot of things that I think we can focus on this Christmas. There's a lot of things that we can put our attention into. But the reality is, for those of us that follow Christ, that have been changed by Jesus, this is what our purpose is. That we are supposed to live lives that are sent to the world, to share with the world the love of Christ. William Carey was a missionary to India, and he said this. He said, "It's the duty of all who have been entrusted with the gospel to endeavor to make it known among all the nations." This is our duty. This is what we've been entrusted with, the good news, to be able to go and share it with the world. And that's why we as a church, we labor together with other mission organizations. You know, Noah talked about the International Mission Board and how we partner together with them in sending missionaries to places that the gospel has not gone. It's why we go to those places and we work with them. We go to the places like Thailand and the Philippines and Toronto and literally all over the world, sending people to be able to share the gospel. Because there's 7,200 people groups that have yet to hear about Jesus. Now, 7,200 people groups is a small number. It doesn't sound that big. That represents billions of people. Billions of people that have yet to be able to hear that good news of the gospel. And it's the same reason why we follow Jesus' example. We go to those hard places. You know, Jesus, he stepped out of eternity into time. He stepped out of probably what was pretty comfortable in heaven to come and to live here on earth in our discomfort. And that's what we want to do. We want to do that same thing. We want to go to those places that maybe it's not comfortable. Let me just tell y'all, I've been to the Philippines. It's not comfortable. It's hot there. It's hot there all the time. It takes a long time to get there. But that's what God has called us to do, is to go to those places where maybe it's uncomfortable, but it's the places where people need to hear the gospel. Because the reality is, the world can't save itself. And we've been sent with that message. So here's my question for us this morning. Like, what do we do with this? Now, am I saying that every single one of you needs to sell all that you have and move somewhere, you know, around the world and become a missionary? As your missionary, or as your missions pastor, yes, that's the right response. No. You know, honestly, I don't know what it means for you. But I know that it starts with praying. It starts with praying fervently. Praying for, God, what do you want from me? What is it that you're asking of me and my family? Maybe he does want to send you halfway around the world. I don't know. Maybe he wants you to go on a short-term trip where you go and you spend a couple of weeks going and sharing the gospel in a place that hasn't been able to hear it. See, I do know that God wants us to pray. He wants us to pray fervently and ask those questions. But he also wants us to pray for those that are being sent out. And I think, you know, a lot of times when we pray for missionaries, our prayers are something kind of like this. God, we pray for all the missionaries. We pray that you'd be with them today. Help them do what you want them to do. Amen. Anybody pray a prayer like that? It's hard for us to know what we're supposed to pray. And, you know, I know that God has this much intentionality in sending us. He wants us to be intentional in our prayers as well. And so we want to help you with that. That's something that we want to help you with. So if you've got your phone, go ahead and get it out. There's going to be several QR codes that you're going to want to scan. So the first one is this QR code for an app that the IMB has put out, and it's a prayer app. And one of the things it does is it allows you to pray specifically and in a timely manner. So like today, they're going to post prayer requests for a missionary that's going out to a village in Indonesia. And they're going to tell you about this person that they met in the village, that they have an injury to their foot. And they heard the gospel and they heard about how Jesus can provide healing, not only for their body, but for their soul. And so pray for that person. That's the kind of prayer request that you're going to be able to get. I encourage you, download that app and use it. Use it to be able to pray for those that are out there on the front line, those that are out there sharing the good news. You know, the other thing that we need to do is that we need to be generous. We need to give generously. And the reality is, missions cost money. For people to be sent around the world, for people to be sent here in our community, it costs money. And Kendra and I have experienced that. We spent 11 years of our life serving on the mission field, and we know the reality of it takes gas in a car to be able to go out to the village and be able to share the gospel. And so, as Noah talked about, this month is our month where we're emphasizing international missions. And so I want to encourage you, you can use the Church Center app, be able to select international missions. If God's leading you to give specifically to that, you can do that. Another way that we as a church that we're trying to help our kids specifically be generous is through this new initiative called GIFT. And so GIFT is a way for your family to both model and to teach generosity with our children. See, the problem is we now are a cashless society, and most of our giving is done through digital means. You know, either we send a check through our bank or we use, the app to give. And so our kids don't get to see that. They don't get to see mom and dad and as a family just being generous. And so GIFT is a way that we're going to be rolling this out in the coming year where families are going to be able to participate in different mission focuses that we have each month. And you can load on your app some money, and your kids can be able to use a digital token, a little coin that they can use to give money in a very real and tangible way. And so I encourage you, if you've got kids, go ahead and download this. Each month, they're going to be able to hear about our different missions partners that we have, whether it's here in the United States, you know, here locally in Owosso, or literally around the world. We're going to be raising funds, and they get to participate in that. So that's another great thing for you to be able to be a part of. You know, I think lastly, the other thing is that we have to be, if we're going to live out our purpose, we have to be willing to go boldly. You know, I joked, does that mean that you have to travel halfway around the world? I don't know. But I do know that we're all called to go. Some are called to go far, but we're all called to go. And I want to encourage you this morning, you know, to ask that question. Is this something that God would have for you? You know, for those to go out, we typically have to have those that are going to support. And usually, you know, in an audience like this, I know that there's people that are going, oh, yeah, that's me. Yeah, I'm the guy. I'm going to help support. I'll pray. I'll give a little money. But the goers, those are the other people. Maybe that's for the super Christians. The reality is, we're all supposed to be sent. Amen. This is our purpose. We're all supposed to be sent. And so I want to encourage you, you know, now is the time. You know, we loved the Christmas season as we were overseas because it was the best time of year to be able to share about the hope of Jesus, to be able to share about this baby that came to save the world. Because we're going to be around our family. We're going to be around our friends that don't know him. And so there may be somebody sitting at the table next to you in the coming days. And I want to encourage you, how has God sent you into that relationship? How does he want to use you to share that good news? I also want to let you know there's going to be a mission celebration. And so that's coming up January 10th. And this is going to be an opportunity for us as a church to come together and just to celebrate what God is doing and to look at the opportunities that we have in the coming year for what God is going to do through our church. And so if you're interested in going and you're saying, I think God wants me to go. I think he wants me to take a trip somewhere. This is going to be a chance for you to be able to hear about all of the different opportunities that we have, the places that God is sending central in the next year and how you can be a part of that. Some of that's going to be local. Some of that's going to be international. But this is going to be a great opportunity for you to hear for that. So scan that QR code, register for that today. There's only a few spots for you to be able to get in on that. I'd want you guys to be able to participate in that. You know, the truth is that trusting God's plan begins with a relationship with him. And if you haven't started that, we would love to have a conversation today. You know, there's going to be people at the back of the room here in a few minutes. We're going to close the service. And as we sing, if that's you, if you've not started a relationship with Jesus, we would love to have a conversation with you. We would love to pray for you and let you know how you can do that. But for the rest of us, I just want to ask the question, what is God calling you to do today? How is it that he's asking you to respond to his command to go? Maybe this needs to be a moment of surrender for you where you're just saying, God, what do you want from me? I want to be obedient. God, have your way in my life. Show me what you want me to do. I want to encourage you as we sing to pray that prayer with open hands. For some of us, today may be the day that God says, I have a plan for you to go far. We're all called to go. If God had a perfect time to send Jesus, maybe today is the day that he's sending you. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you so much for the gift of Jesus. I thank you that you sent him at the perfect time to the perfect place, God, that you showed us exactly who he was, that he was the Messiah, the king that would come, that would save us. Not save us from the Romans, not save us from some other government, but God, save us from our sin. He was the perfect sacrifice. He was the one that could do what we couldn't do. And I thank you, Jesus, that in the same way as you came to save us, that you are sending us out to share that good news of salvation with the world. Jesus, we admit that it's hard. We admit that there's sacrifice in that. But this is the purpose that you've given us. This is the purpose that you've given us from before creation. You had a plan to use us. And so, God, I pray that you would help us today to be obedient to that. God, we open up our hands and we say, we are yours. Lead us. Direct us. Show